Well, before leaving his post as finance minister, Bill Morneau estimated that the federal government's deficit would reach $343 billion this year. That is roughly 10 times the amount forecasted before the pandemic hit. And to discuss how the government is planning to repay that debt is Mark Ting. He's our guide to personal finance and a partner with Foundation Wealth. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
So you've mentioned in the past that the federal government had to borrow all the money needed to fund emergency programs like CERB. Can you explain how government is able to borrow just that much amount of money?
Yeah. So what they do is they issue bonds and they sell them in the open market, usually to mutual funds or pension funds, but basically anyone really who wants to park their money for an allotted amount of time and are happy to receive a small amount of interest in return. However, right now, because it's a global pandemic, it's not just Canada who's trying to raise all this money. It's governments all around the world, and they're literally issuing trillions of dollars into the bond market. And what we're finding is there just isn't enough buyers. So in order to sell their bonds and raise the necessary funds, what our government's having to do is artificially create demand. And they do that by electronically printing money and buying their bonds. So in other words, it's our government who is lending money to itself. So it's acting like both the borrower and the creditor.
That almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? I'm wondering what the negative consequences of a situation like that might be.
Yeah, I mean, it is too good to be true. There's lots of negative consequences because essentially what they're doing is they're increasing the money supply. And every time you do that, it depletes the buying power of the currency that's currently in circulation and we get inflation. Now, inflation is not a bad thing. We always have inflation, but we try to keep it at a reasonable rate. And a reasonable rate would be like 1% to 3% a year. But what happens when a central bank increases the money supply too quickly, what they're doing is they're risking hyperinflation or runaway inflation. And that's where you see what's happening in places like Venezuela. And that's where like prices of bread or milk or gas, basically everything, can double or triple in a single day. So it's a bit of a slippery slope. The central banks are willing to take on this risk because their citizens need money right now to survive. And if the government doesn't give it to them, like who else will?
How will this level of a debt be repaid, Mark?
It's not. I mean, it's never going to be fully repaid. And the creditors don't really care. What they care about is that the monthly interest charges get serviced. And to do that, governments have a couple options. I mean, I should say it's not really the government's debt, it's taxpayers' debt. So what they'll do is raise taxes. I mean, they'll try. They'll raise taxes, they could go on a spending diet or introduce austerity programs like reducing pension payouts or laying off government workers or cutting programs. Or they could hope that the economy not only recovers, but grows in the near future. And if that happens, it creates a lot of jobs, you know, wages go up, we'd see an increase in consumer and corporate spending, all of which produces tax revenues, which can be used to pay down the debt.
Yeah, and so what's your sense then of what's going to happen here?
Well, I don't think they have much choice, really. I mean, they can try to raise taxes, but, you know, Canadians are tapped out already. And even if we went off after the ultra rich and we taxed 100% of the income from the top 1% earners of Canadians, you know, it wouldn't put a dent into these types of deficits. No, not even close. Cutting back on spending and austerity programs, it's not really what our government's known for. So I don't actually see that happening either. And then every politician is obviously hoping for the third option, that the economy thrives and grows and we grow our way out of the debt. And as much as I would like to see this happen, I'm not very confident that we can pull it off. What I think will happen is the government will continue to print money to pay for all their services. They're going to load on more debt, and then they're going to print more money to pay for those monthly interest charges. Essentially, what's happening is they're monetizing the debt. They're trying to inflate their way out of the problem. So which means those loans will be repaid. They will along down the line, but they're going to be repaid with dollars that have been diluted and have much less buying power.
So, Mark, what will the tangible impact be on the financial lives of Canadians because of all of this?
I mean, there's so many things that could happen. I'll just touch on a couple, I guess. We'll start with older Canadians. I mean, this demographic is trying to save money. And in the past, they were used to earning 4% to 6%. just by keeping their money in the bank. And those days are long gone. Now they're getting, you know, 0.5% or less or even zero. And their money is growing at a much slower rate than inflation. Inflation's going up, their savings rate's going down. So that's a bad formula for them. So they're guaranteed to lose money, or they're being forced into riskier assets like high-yield bonds or the stock market, which they might not be comfortable with. Then on the flip side, you got younger Canadians. Well, they might be happy because the borrowing rates are, interest rates are at historic lows. But everything they really want to buy is still really elevated, like real estate, stocks, gold. I mean, real estate is still really high. Stock market's basically at all-time highs, mm-hmm. same with gold. So it's really tough. All of these prices of these things that they want to buy, they're rising because of all this excess money that's circulating the economy. It's sort of put a bottom in the prices. So for those first-time home buyers that were hoping for a massive crash, it doesn't look like it's going to materialize.
And of course, we often talk about the wealth gap continuing to widen. What is your sense of what might happen to that gap due to this?
Yeah, see, I got another depressing answer for you, because I see that all this money printing is actually going to make this wealth gap worse, like quite a bit worse. And what you'll see is that people who have jobs and homes, like the wealthier segments of society, they have this excess money. You know, they're not spending it in restaurants or whatnot. And we see the saving rates going up. So what they're doing is they're taking this excess money and they're buying investments. Again, stocks, real estate, gold, whatever it is. Whereas the poorer people, they're not in that same boat. They got their CERB payment or their money from the government. And what are they using it for? Well, they're using it to get by. I mean, you know, using it for food and rent, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned before, all these excess money is inflationary. So prices go up. So those wealthier people will see their assets, their stocks and real estate prices rise. Whereas the poorer segments of society, they don't own these assets, but they also have to deal with rising rents and food prices. So for them, it's an extremely tough situation.
All right, Mark, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.